If Charles Dickens wrote a new version of A Christmas Carol today, it's likely that the story would be quite a bit different. Imagine Scrooge not as the hard-driven tyrant who hated Christmas, but as a hard-driven CEO of a shopping mall who loved Christmas. That is, he loved the increase in sales that accounted for 25 to 50% of his annual revenue each year. Scrooge would love Christmas so much that he'd start advertising his Christmas wares in October. He'd use the latest in consumer research to coax the most money out of his shoppers, and he'd offer new ways of borrowing money for the generous giver who only had the misfortune of running out of Christmas cash. But you know, the father of Tiny Tim, poor old Bob Cratchit, the man who knew the Christmas spirit so well in Dickens' first classic, would be working long hours because of Christmas. At home, he'd be dealing with the pressure of Mrs. Cratchit's desires to have the best, the most expensive decorations and food possible for another Christmas party at the house. He'd hear subtle hints for the expensive toys, the iPhones, the Gap gift certificates from Tiny Tim and the other Cratchit children. He'd hate the crowds. He'd hate the traffic. And he'd hate the way he and the missus were headed into deeper credit card debt because of the Christmas expenses. Once home, exhausted, after another day of the Christmas rush, he'd hear Mrs. Cratchit say, "Bob, dear, I'm almost out of ribbon. Could you run down to the store and pick some more up?" And he'd head back out into the Christmas riot, wondering if there had ever been a day when people actually enjoyed Christmas. And you know, it's actually possible that the most famous line of Dickens' story would belong to Bob Cratchit instead of Scrooge. As he responded to the commercially driven Christmas with, "Bah, humbug." You know, you pick up any woman's magazine in November or December, and you'll find pages and pages of Christmas decorations and recipes, and many of them that are impossible to imitate without some professional help. But try a men's magazine at Christmas, Sports Illustrated or a hunting magazine. The only Christmas reference you're likely to see in those ads, aiming primarily at men, is an increase in liquor ads, which is sending a message in and of itself. Put the two together. Women get stressed by crafts and recipes that don't work, and men head for the liquor cabinet. The first Christmas advertising shows up before Halloween. The shopping dominates Thanksgiving, and the schedule of social events can keep December booked solid. Even the church adds to the Christmas stress with its musicals and parties, Christmas dinners, and calls for special offerings. It seems that the holiday arrives more like a dark storm cloud than a season of joy. The driving pace of too much to do, too much to buy, and too many places to go can leave a person tired of the whole thing. And then it's gone for another year. Wouldn't it be great to change that pattern? You know, the struggle to find peace on earth has been going on since the very first Christmas. And the people looking the hardest were the ones who missed it the most. The temple in Jerusalem was the busiest religious place in the world. The sacrifices never stopped. The offerings never ceased. The priests and the singers and those that kept score on the rules continued it with every shift change that occurred there at the temple. They argued over points of the law. They read and they memorized the Torah. They quoted the prophets and they looked for the Messiah. And yet when the Messiah arrived, barely 5 miles from the temple in Bethlehem, not a single expert in religion made it to the manger. On the eighth day, Mary and Joseph brought the baby to the temple. They brought Christmas himself inside the most logical place for someone to recognize the long-awaited Messiah. But Mary, Joseph, and the baby went into the temple, completed the ceremony of circumcision, and almost slipped away unnoticed. However, there were two who found Christmas when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. There were two who did their best to share the news with anyone who would listen. See, almost all of the religious leaders of the temple missed Christmas. Even at the cross, they rejected the idea that Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, could possibly be the Messiah. And why did they miss the truth that is so obvious to those who followed Jesus 2,000 years later? You know why? They were so immersed in religion. They were so close to Bethlehem, and yet they missed Christmas. Why? It was because they were too busy. They were just plain too busy. And they stayed busy for the next 33 years, missing the teaching, missing the miracles, missing the crucifixion, missing the resurrection, and missing the ascension. They were so busy doing the work of God, they missed God's greatest work in history. They had the scriptures. They knew the prophecy. They sang the songs. They kept the holidays. But somehow they completely missed what all the scripture, all the songs, all the prophecy, and all of the holidays had been promising. And you know what? It's not hard to make the transition to today's Christmas holiday, Russ, from that scene. Few people seem to know the origin of the celebration. Even many in the church have lost the wonder of the holiday. Maybe we should spend a little more time in the temple. In two quiet corners, two people managed to find Christmas. Ignored by the all too busy priests, Levites and Sadducees, an old man and an old woman found the Messiah. Their names were Simeon and Anna. If you turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, to read a portion of that story. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Finding Christmas is not easy. It's not easy. If most of the religious experts missed the first Christmas, it's not surprising that a lot of religious people today miss it as well. If we pay attention to Simeon and Anna, we might discover a few clues that will help us. Number one, you must be willing to wait. You must be willing to wait. You see, the only people who found Christmas in the temple were two individuals who were willing to wait for it. They were waiting and they were anticipating. Simeon was apparently an old man, but he held to the promise that he would see the Messiah before he died. Anna was 84, a widow, and she would not leave the temple complex. She was there all the time, fasting, praying, and waiting. What a contrast to all the priests and the Pharisees. They spend a lifetime arguing the law, carrying out the never-ending stream of sacrifices at the temple. And because they were so busy, the priests and the other religious experts in Israel missed Christmas. You see, waiting implies patience. And it also implies quiet. You know, what part of American Christmas is quiet and patient? I mean, what part of it? With all the noise, with all the hurry, with all the stress, we got about as much chance of simplifying Christmas as we would of seeing snow on Christmas Eve in Miami. It's possible, but it's not very likely. You know, what will you do to wait this Christmas? What will you do to wait? You see, when God spoke to Elijah, he used a voice so quiet and so small. Elijah knew immediately, though, that he just experienced the presence of God, even though it was such a still and quiet voice. If Elijah had been in a shopping mall at the time, he probably would have missed the whisper of God. If this Christmas is going to be anything like the first one, you'll have to learn to wait with Simeon and Anna, even if everyone else around you misses the point. So you must learn to wait. You must be willing to wait. But number two, you must trust God's promises. You know, Simeon had waited a lifetime to see God's Messiah. And when he saw Jesus, Simeon knew that God had kept his promise. Anna had waited decades. And as she waited, she became a prophetess, telling other people about God's promise. She told other people that God kept his promises. Amen? God has promised to never leave you or forsake you. You know, trust God to keep that promise and tell others. You see, a lot of people face some stressful events every single Christmas. Every single Christmas. Author Leith Anderson writes, "Several years ago, I was visiting Manila and was taken, of all places, to the Manila garbage dump and saw something beyond belief. Tens of thousands of people make their home on that dump site. They've constructed shacks out of things other people have thrown away. And they send their children out early every morning to scavenge for food out of other people's garbage so that they can have family meals. People have been born and grown up there on the garbage dump. They have had their families, their children, their shacks, their garbage to eat, finished out their lives and died there without ever going anywhere else, even in the city of Manoah. It's an astonishing thing, but Americans also live on the garbage dump. They are missionaries. Missionaries. Christians who have chosen to leave their own country and communicate the love of Jesus Christ to people who otherwise would never hear it. That's amazing. You know, the people would leave what we have to go and live on a garbage dump in order to reach people for Jesus. Amazing, but not as amazing as the journey from heaven to earth. The Son of God made that journey. And He knew what He was doing. He knew where He was going. He knew what sacrifice would be. He journeyed from heaven to earth on a mission to save the human race. You must trust God's promises. And number three, you must be willing to witness. You must be willing to witness. Simeon and Anna never considered keeping the good news to themselves. Simeon began to sing and then spoke a word of prophecy to Mary and Joseph. As soon as she saw the child, Anna came and gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. They knew the concept, listen, they knew the concept of a thank you note. A gift received should prompt an expression of thanks. Unfortunately, the note of thanks is something of a vanishing art in our world, in our time today. But consider what God had done. Think about it. God left His place in heaven. God chose to experience all that it is to be a human. And God chose to redeem all who would accept His salvation. Such a gift demands a word of thanks. Like Simeon and Anna, we shouldn't hold back our praise after receiving such a gift of God's love. On several occasions, King Abdullah II of Jordan has disguised himself and mingled with his subjects. His rationale for this unorthodox approach is to better understand and serve his people. Taking the character of an ordinary old Arab man, he has appeared in public with a fake white beard, wearing the traditional Jordanian kufiya and the Arabic white dress. While so disguised, the king walked around two government buildings without security and was not noticed. While waiting in a long line, he engaged people in conversation and listened to their point of view. Such incognito appearances have marked the 42-year-old monarch's reign since he assumed the throne in 1999. He disguised himself as an old man previously while visiting a hospital. Another time, he circulated around Amman behind the wheel of a taxi cab. Still another time, he passed himself off as a television reporter trying to cover a story at a duty-free shop. According to a reporter, Costa Tadros, he said, "I think that being in disguise and going around as a normal civilian to listen to their problems and know more about their needs is a good thing. I think it would make a great movie. Jordanian government employees aren't taking any chances. They started to spend time looking at people's faces, fearing that they could meet the king in disguise." Well, you know, our king came also. And you know what? He slipped by almost completely unnoticed by so many in his day. And almost all of the religious leaders, the ones who knew God, Dr. James Dobson tells a story of an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope who was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had died just a few months prior through a slow developing cancer. And now, several days before Christmas, she was almost snowed in by a brutal weather system. She felt terribly alone, so much so she decided that she was not going to decorate for Christmas. Late that afternoon, the doorbell rang and there was a delivery boy with a box. He said, "Mrs. Thornhope," and she nodded and said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you sign here?" And she invited him to step inside and close the door to get away from the cold. She signed the paper and said, "What's in the box?" And the young man laughed and opened the flap, and inside was a little puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old, completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness at being released from captivity. "Who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope asked. The young man set the animal down and handed her an envelope, and it said, it's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." The young man then handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." In desperation, she again asked, "Who sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." She opened up the letter from her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he died and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him. He had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. She wiped away the tears, put the letter down, and then, remembering the puppy at her feet, she picked up that golden furry ball and held it to her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house, and she heard from the radio in the kitchen the strains of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of peace washing over her. Her heart felt the joy and wonder greater than the grief and loneliness. "Little feller," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down in the basement I'll bet you'll like. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and some lights that are going to impress you. And there's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it. God has a way of sending a signal of light to remind us life is stronger than death."